And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right. Well, hey, welcome back, folks. Got to do this. I mean, we're at number one at the Triple Dipper, and it's one of those that's like it's I've got stuff now that's going to make you mad. Some's going to make you laugh. Some of it's going to make you roll your eyes. Some going to make you want to march with pitchforks and torches on somebody's town hall. I don't know. But it's, you know what it is. It's Adventures in Woke World. Hit it, man.
Adventures in Woke World.
Oh, my gosh. I got a stack of stuff here. Good
it's
gosh.
It's a big stack.
Oh, dude, I'm saying. And it's highlighted and marked up. And I'm just, I mean, here's the first one right here, just full of highlights. I'm burning up the highlighters, by the way. Alicia's going to have to order more highlighters for me.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. All right, first one I got, nationalreview.com, dated October 21st, so just a few days ago. University of Wyoming sorority girl speaks out on transgender pledge, quote, he's just calling himself a girl. Okay, brace yourselves. Here we go. By the way, I hope out there in this audience there is someone or someone's wife who is a Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority alumni, because I want to know what alumni think of this kind of stuff. On Monday, September 19th, a Google form landed in the email inboxes of students belonging to Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority at the University of Wyoming in Laramie. The members were asked to vote on the admission of two prospective pledges. By the way, this is post-rush. They have some kind of a continuous open bidding process where those who were rejected during rush can try again. All right. The two were young female and a male student named Artemis Langford, who identifies as a woman, wanting to be in the sorority. So chapter leaders, though, it says in this article, just literally dismissed the concerns of their members who felt what the article describes as deeply uncomfortable with having a male accepted into their sisterhood. The senior women effectively pressured them to accept this guy. Here's the quote. Regardless of what your political views are, our Kappa values are acceptance and kindness. So if that is something you disagree with, that's not in line with Kappa values. And they were literally told to shut up. One of them said to the younger members, the other pledge members, it's 2022. If you vote no, it better be for like literal issues with that new member or else it's homophobic. And okay, I'm thinking, well, what's their charter say? Well, apparently the charter has been changed to accept males identifying as female into the Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority. So the chapter later announced it would be extending Langford a bid, and he was subsequently welcomed into Kappa Kappa Gamma, whose official national bylaws allow the admission of any student who identifies as female.
What? They're going to allow them?
Not only that, he's going to live in the sorority house, dude. This is madness.
Wow.
This is absolute madness.
That is madness.
And I want to know how many parents are paying sorority dues going, wait, what? You know, So he was dropped during formal rush because he didn't, quote, leave a strong impression, end quote, but he got the opportunity to re-petition. And so this article goes on. I've got so many highlights in here. I got to weed it down. But so Langford, by the way, went and did an interview with the school newspaper, which is also against their bylaws. You're not allowed to go talk to the press about Rush. So, quote, I feel so glad to be in a place that I think not only shares my values, but to be in a sisterhood of awesome women that want to make history. They want to break the glass ceiling, trailblazing, you know? And I certainly feel that as their first trans member, at least in the chapter in Wyoming history. Well, then the chapter president admitted, yeah, we don't allow interviews, but it was approved for him by headquarters. Well, other pledge members are saying, wait a minute, they're letting him run with whatever he wants, but we're not allowed to go speak up. So they weren't allowed. None of the ones who had misgivings were allowed to speak up as, you know, providing background for his article. It was just a solo puff piece on him, which is also against their charter.
Wow. So none of the other rushies or even the ones that are in there, they don't get to give any rebuttal.
None. And oh, by the way, they have no choice about the fact he's going to be living in the chapter house.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
And the chapter president's literally told everybody, listen, if you don't like it, just use the bathroom he doesn't use. What?
What?
So anyway, it gets bad. And by the way, I wondered too, okay, is he one of those like cross dressers, looks like a female? No. Apparently he's a big old dude with facial hair. And one girl described him as Lankford as a big guy. And from her observations, he has made no efforts to even physically look like a girl. It's unclear whether he's doing any transition treatments. He's just calling himself a girl.
Whoa.
Listen, bro.
And you know, that's what's going to happen. I mean, it's a sick world. I mean, that's what these guys
messed
are
up.
They're going to be like, I'm a girl.
This is one of those where I jokingly say things like, "Yeah, well, my truck identifies as a Prius. Can I park in the economy parking now?" You know, what else is allowed? What else? Okay, let's change subjects. We're still in woke world. How about this one? Elon Musk is buying Twitter, right? So it's all going forward. It appears that it's going to happen. Of course, now suddenly Twitter sphere is freaking out on the left side, anyway. Hotair.com, dated October 24th. ABC is now worried that Twitter censorship will decline. They don't want it. They want more censorship. So the article starts out here on hotair.com. The left is schizophrenic when it comes to Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter. First, they hated it. Then they wanted to force him to buy it. Now they're scared the deal will go through. This week, it points out, we learned the Biden administration is actually considering scotching the deal, they say, which basically we heard that the Biden administration is considering antitrust investigations. I mean, what the heck? They're fine with it, the article points out, as it is right now, controlled by the left. But the idea the platform is going to have less censorship, that's not good. And now ABC News is chiming in with a similar take. Elon's plan to radically downsize Twitter's bloated workforce to a more reasonable level will, quote, threaten content moderation. In other words, we won't have enough people there to censor you conservatives. We can't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's actual quotes in here. With experts on ABC News talking about the potential layoffs, and the move could compromise the platform's capacity to police harmful or false content with ramifications that could extend to social issues like election integrity. Good God. One guy named Zeev Anderson, whoever Zeev is, he works at the New York University Center for Social Media and Politics. How do you get a job? How do you fund that? The New York University Center for Social Media and Politics. What do you do? Well, I help stand up an organization that looks at politics and Twitter. Okay. He says content moderation will be a lot harder without people doing content moderation. Well, that's kind of the point of Elon buying it there, bud. Just saying, maybe it's time to stop censoring people and just get back to, you know, trying not to be triggered all the time. Okay. Still in woke world. Still moving forward. How am I doing on time, bud? Am I good? Oh, you had to play it for me, didn't you?
I had to play it one more time. Yeah, you're good. All
right. Daily Caller, October 24th. You know, election integrity, it's a big deal. At least as long as you're on the left. If you're on the right, don't talk about election integrity or you're an election denier. Well, how about this? Daily Caller, dated October 24th, just a couple days ago, MSNBC hosts asks a Democratic congressman if foreign countries ought to monitor our elections. Let me repeat that.
Wait, foreign countries?
Yes, it just sunk in, didn't it? MSNBC hosts ask Democrat congressman if foreign countries should monitor our elections. MSNBC host Nicole Wallace, oh, there you go, asked a member of the House Intelligence Committee on Monday, if foreign countries should monitor American elections. Do you think it's time to ask for friends and allies to come over and help us monitor our elections? Wallace asked Democratic Rep. Jim Hines of Connecticut. We used to do that in other burgeoning and threatened democracies. We're not a burgeoning and threatened democracy, Nicole. Anyway, to his credit, the guy, Representative Jim Hines, responded, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Talk about caveating. How about he should have looked at her and goes, he should have just looked at her and said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Is that really your question for me right now? I'm a U.S. congressman taking time to come on your show and that's your question? But no, he goes, well, I'm not there yet. And I know why you're asking what you're asking. And you're not wrong. I mean, God, you talk about walking on eggshells. He said, I mean, the kind of intimidation that is threatened around polling places. You've seen pictures of guys with assault weapons near boxes that... I got news, Black Lives Matter and Antifa hang out near polling places sometimes too. Third world country. The only thing third world is her ability to have a show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
How am I doing on time? Am I good?
Oh, yeah, you're good.
All right, I'm good. All right, listen. I'm switching gears. See, I told you I had like a box full of these. Every once in a while, it's like, you know, you go on the news, start resourcing a show, and it's like finding the prize in the Cracker Jack box. You just keep finding another one. Like, have you ever, by the way, Bernard.
They just keep coming. Keep coming.
Did you eat Cracker Jacks growing up? I hope
absolutely,
you did.
I did.
All right, the prize in the box?
Yes.
Did you ever have a box that had an extra prize, like two prizes wound up in the same box?
Jackpot.
That's what I feel like right now with Woke World. I've got so much stuff.
It's like when you get to the end of the article, then you see like three more. You're like, oh,
that's exactly right. You find a hot link in the article that leads you to another article. Yes. It's like the extra prize in a Cracker Jack box. All right, Washington Examiner, dated October 24th. Okay, I can get myself under control. Washington Examiner, October 24th. Man uses a gas generator in his electric vehicle to drive 1,800 miles. Did you see this one?
I saw this one and I started laughing.
A man took his electric vehicle on a road trip and had an unconventional solution for driving 1,800 miles without stopping for a charge, although he actually did stop for a charge. His name is Matt Mika, and he apparently has a YouTube channel. What's it called? Where's the title of it? The YouTube channel is called Warped Perception.
Okay.
All right.
Here you go.
He says, I really like my Tesla, but what I don't like is stopping to charge, especially on a road trip. I don't even like stopping to fill up my gas-powered car, and that's way faster than charging. So he hooked up a 400cc gas generator in the back of his Tesla Model S. Literally, I think he took out the back window, the back windshield.
I think there was a picture of it, yes.
And it was standing in the back window.
Standing in the back, but gas generator.
And the generator was running while he was driving. And hooked into the car's charging outlet. And it says he made the 1,800-mile trip, but he realized the only way he could make it work was to drive 50 miles an hour on the interstate.
So super slow.
Super slow. And even then, he would get down to a low enough charge where he'd have to pull over on the side of the road, let it charge back up while he waited, and then keep driving.
Didn't he get pulled over?
He got pulled over for driving too slow. You could hear it on the video. You could hear the officer saying, I pulled you over, sir, because you're going slower than the normal rate of traffic. And he explained, yes, sir, but if I go faster, I lose my charge. So he literally drove with a gas-powered generator humming away in
and
the back of his vehicle.
And then I think he also, I don't know if he got pulled over for it, but people complained about the noise.
Yeah, he pulled over to collect some rocks on the banks of Lake Michigan, and there were police that were called because in the park they were complaining about his generator's noise.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh. Boomer, how much time I got for the break, brother? You think about a minute, or are we ready to go right now? I tell you what, let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and take the break. We'll come right back. I got more of this. I mean, stuff that'll make you roll your eyes, stuff that'll make you pull your own hair out. Adventures in Woke World. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.